Welcome to Rework, a podcast by Basecamp about the better way to work and run your business. I'm your host, Sean Hildner, and this week we are talking about finding the epicenter. And last week we talked about the things that you want to do, the things that you could do, and this week we're going to focus on the things that you have to do. As always, joining me are Basecamp's co-founders and the authors of Rework, David Heinemeier Hansen. How are you?
Good.
And Jason Fried, how are you?
I'm doing well, Sean. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain.
By the way, this is probably my favorite chapter.
Is it really?
Favorite thing, let's say. I don't know if it's a chapter, but...
Why don't we start there? Why?
Because this is what everyone wants to know. Like, where do you start? Everybody is always asking, where do you start?
Yeah.
And the answer is you start in the middle. You don't start, like, at the beginning, which is where you'd think you'd start.
Sure.
You figure out, like, what the thing is that matters most, and you start there. So with Basecamp, it was the message board. Because we were trying to figure out a way to centralize communication. One of our problems was that messages were everywhere. You had emails, you had messages. We're using AIM, you know, AOL Instant Messenger at the time. We were using Skype. We would have phone calls with clients. Like, there's just stuff was everywhere. So we needed a way to centralize that, have feedback on the record. And that was the message board. And once we had that working, we could use what we were building. If we just had an account system, like everyone, you could say everybody needs an account. Like, you have to log into this thing. But we just hard-coded that, I think, to start as well. It didn't matter. But even if you built that first, you wouldn't be able to do anything. So to build something you can't do anything with is not really a great way to start. You want to build something you can do something with. And that's what the epicenter is all about. And I think one of the examples we gave, I don't know if it was in Getting Real or Rework or somewhere else, is the hot dog stand.
Yeah, basically, yeah, that's in right? This one.
Yeah, it's that, what's the epicenter of a hot dog stand? It's the hot dog. You could sell a hot dog without a bun. You could sell it without ketchup or mustard or onions or relish or whatever. You need to sell a hot dog to have a hot dog stand. And so that's where you start, with the hot dog. And that's in Basecamp's case, that was the message board. And that's sort of where you begin.
And when you begin there, you get to test the core of the idea. Because as Jason said, if we had built all these generic things you need, oh, you need a way to log in, you need a way to change your username, you need all the affordances that any app will have, that's not going to teach you about whether this thing is going to work or not. When we built the message board, we very quickly got to see whether this was any help at all. It's entirely possible that it wasn't going to help. Oh, this didn't solve our problems. Email is actually easier. We don't go to it. And then you'd know, oh, that idea is bust. We got to come up with something else. But the more time you spend on the generic stuff that everyone else has around their app, the less you're learning about whether this thing that's unique about what you're building right now actually has legs or not. And that's why it's just so crucial to start there. And it's also, I think, why, like Jason, I love this idea of the epicenter. Because I remember when we started talking about it, it was totally novel. The way I started building systems was always start with, what do we always need? Oh, we need the login system. We need this. And I'd have this thing where, all right, before we even start talking about what you're doing, I need to spend a few weeks just setting things up, kind of thing, right? And then in a few weeks, let's talk about what you actually want to do. And this really flipped it on its head to be like, oh, actually, we could just not do those things. Because all of that scaffolding is there to be thrown away if the epicenter doesn't work. If the hot dog you're selling is gross, no one gives a rat about the bun or the relish, right? Like, all of that stuff is just irrelevant if you cannot arrive at a good hot dog. So for us at Basecamp to arrive at, okay, the message board as we built out actually did something, and we started using it right away, and we immediately saw this was better. That's the kind of stuff that then gives you the stamina and the motivation to build the rest of it. Because, like, okay, now we have something that works. Let's make it real. It's also the trick that makes it possible to even get going when you have no time at all. The other part of building Basecamp was that we started with 10 hours of my time per week.
Mm-hmm.
I could have spent weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks building all the stuff that we needed around, right? But in 10 hours, I think within a week or two, I forget how long it took, but it did not take much more than a week or two, we had that epicenter going. We had something to evaluate. And that just makes all the difference.
And I think in Hay, I was just trying to think about...
Yeah, what's Hay's epicenter?
Well, what we built first was, I think, the ability to receive an email or send an email. One of the two. I think it was maybe send, David. I don't know if you remember
that.
Yeah,
I think so. It was basically like it needed to do those two things, right? If you can't send and you can't receive email, it's not email. It's something else. What was interesting, though, Jason, I thought about that was, so we started with that epicenter and made sure that it could send and receive email because then we could start using it. But then very quickly thereafter, we actually pivoted away from let's do the things that like all email clients do to let's just pick something that no other email client does. Because this is the thing that's going to prove whether we have any space in this market at all. With, hey, we could have spent years and still will be spending years building out the so-called basics, the table stakes, all the things you're supposed to have. And we talked last week about how we actually skirted on a bunch of those things. Like we didn't have autoresponders. We didn't have signatures. We didn't have all a bunch of these other table stakes that you'd think like, oh, every email client needs that. But if that was the only thing we built, we would just have rebuilt Gmail with none of the power of Google behind us. That sounds like a bad idea. So we needed to, as soon as sort of like just the IO of email was going, we needed to have something that was unique, the epicenter of why does this thing even exist?
And I think with HiRISE, by the way, it was...
HiRISE is our old CRM.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, we have a product, although we don't sell it anymore, but existing customers can use it called HiRISE, which is a basic, simple CRM tool to keep track of who talked to who, when you need to follow up next, contacts with vendors and external people and sales and the whole thing. Anyway, that was, I think, just about adding a note to a person. Like that's what primarily HiRISE was about, was adding notes to people. And so once you could have a person page and just add a free text area to that page and add notes and hit submit and it's saved, like you basically got a CRM. You really actually basically have a CRM. It doesn't do much, but it does that. And that's what it needs to do first. So that's where we started with that.
Which also was founded in the problem we were trying to solve. I remember the pitch we were talking about at the time, which was, hey, Jason and I both run this business. Sometimes we need to talk to lawyers. Sometimes we need to talk to accountants. And you want the other person to be in the loop or whoever else in the company who needs to be in the loop about the conversation with the lawyer. And it was exactly that. Okay. You've just talked to Glenn, our lawyer. You need to record like, okay, it was this, this, and this, and this, because then I didn't have to be on the call with Glenn as well. We could just spend the time that one person is on the phone with the lawyer and one person is talking to the accountant and the other person is in the loop about what's going on with the business. It sounds like, well, just one place to put notes, like that's not a lot. Well, actually it is, right? Like that is the epicenter. I know what's going on in my business. Even if it's someone else inside the business that's taking or making the calls or having the conversations. And I think that's another way sometimes where you can be led astray if you thought to yourself, oh, I want to create a new CRM. What is CRM? CRM is just a billion different things. It's hard to pick out the epicenter of that versus if you start with a problem like, I need to know what's going on in my business when someone else talks to or is contacted by the people we deal with to run that business. You can hone in on, well, this is what we need to start. For example, Salesforce or other CRM tools are often focused a lot on the sales activity. That wasn't the problem that Jason or I were trying to solve for ourselves. So that's not where we started.
Right.
HiRISE ended up having some sales capacity to it because we built that on top of because we thought, well, that would do well. And plenty of people do need that. But it wasn't the epicenter because the epicenter, I think also in part, has to be something you can discern whether it's good or not. The problem if we had started with the sales part of HiRISE as the epicenter was we would have needed to complete the whole thing and put it into market before we would have had any feedback as to whether we were on the right path or not, because we just weren't doing it. We were sort of, I remember at the time, we were sort of trying to remember back and simulate, oh, if this was still 2002 and we were doing bids for clients. There were some remnants of some ideas where you could sort of hone on it, but it was so much easier to answer the question of, do I know what's going on in the business when Jason is talking to Glenn?
Yeah, that seems like the trick, the mental arithmetic you have to do to actually find the epicenter. So how did you figure out that message boards was actually what you needed to make a project management tool?
Yeah, it came down to what were we struggling with? Communication was everywhere. There was no central source of truth, like who spoke to who. It was actually kind of similar to HiRISE in a sense, sort of, which is funny because most things are like this. It's just like you just need a little bit more than nothing. And we need to keep feedback on the record so everyone knows who said what and when. And there's no, oh, I didn't say that or I didn't approve that. Well, you did. It's right here. Or I didn't promise that. Well, yes, you did. It's right here. Whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And that needed to be a central place. So you could say, well, there's emails. You could just shoot emails around, but not everybody's on every email. And everyone's versions of different emails can be different because some people are on them, some people are not. Some, you might forget to add someone to one. You might CC someone. You might BCC someone. The other person doesn't know who's looped in. When you have everything in one place, everyone can see and everyone can see the same thing. It just changes the dynamic and the conversation.
Yeah.
And that was the aim for Basecamp. So that was the epicenter. That was the message board.
In that particular example, the killer app is adding someone after the fact. This project has been going on for 2 weeks. If this was email, we would have traded 75 emails.
Right.
Now someone else joins the project and they need to get up to speed on what's going on. What, are you going to forward them 75 emails? No, you're not, because that would be crazy. No one does that. So the new person joining has no context, does not know what it's already been agreed to. Then you see Basecamp and like it's all there. This is something we actually hear all the time when we bring new people on at Basecamp. The history of so many of the projects and things we work on at Basecamp, they're able to get up to speed on all of that because it's all in Basecamp. And they can just go back and read it versus a company that was running off email, which is most companies, or Slack or some other chat system that just scrolls all context away in 5 minutes. You can't do that. You can't join after the train has already left the station. Now, that's a huge undertaking of bringing someone up to speed. We're in Basecamp, using Basecamp. It's mostly just adding that person to the project and say like, hey, read up.
And because threads are titled and named, you can jump into one without being bombarded by the others, which is different with a chat transcript. You jump into a chat and there might be a dozen different conversations happening and you've got to piece it all together yourself after the fact. It's mm-hmm. a terrible way to get up to speed. I mean, literally, if you ask someone to go back and read the last 3 months of conversations in a chat room, like it's not really a tenable ask.
Right.
It's torturous when it is.
It really is. Yeah.
But you could say, go to this message board, browse the topics, and maybe there's something in there that catches your eye and you can read it. And then you know that you're just reading that.
Right.
It's a very, very different approach, even though it may not sound that different on the surface. It actually is.
How much work do you put into the epicenter? How much work do you put into the message board before you start adding things like inviting another person later on? I think you write in the essay that you should be working on the epicenter to make it as good as it can be before adding any of the details. And we're going to be talking about when to add details next week. Well, I should say in more detail. But how much work is put into that epicenter?
As good as it can be, maybe is not how I would phrase it today. As adequate as it can be initially. We talk about surface area. Like, what kind of surface area do we need to cover until we have a good sense of this does what it needs to do? And the way you figure that out is you use it. This is the whole point.
Right.
The only way to know what it needs is to use it. And you can't use it unless you build the most basic version of it
first. The thing that works. Right.
Then you bump into the edges and you go, we need to push here and expand this and push here and expand that. At a certain point, you realize like you're not hitting the edges anymore. You're within this nice confine of the solution. And then you can begin to basically jump off that island onto another one and build the next piece. But if you keep bumping into the edges, you're not quite there yet. I think it's how we tend to feel about it. You still need a degree of discipline because you can keep talking yourself into the fact that you're not there yet. It needs to be this much better, or it really needs this, that, and the other thing. But it's really like how often do you need that? How much does that come up? Can we save that for later? Is it really that important? Those are the kinds of questions you have to ask. Otherwise, you're going to just keep orbiting the same little small problem area until it's like polished perfectly, but then you don't get anywhere. So it's important to get somewhere early, use it, expand that a little bit, and then move on to something else. And you can decide if you want to come back to the initial thing later on.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting here is that the amount of polish needed is in some ways inversely proportionate to whether you fixed a real problem or not. The bigger the real problem, the less polish you need, because anything is better than
better
nothing.
Than nothing. Right. Yeah, that's clever.
And that was the case with Basecamp. Was very quickly it was clear that this was beating email. We needed basically very little at all, very little like, oh, is this like neatly aligned? Is this like a compelling design? Is it like, no, the design was take these conversations out of email, put them somewhere centralized where we can all refer to them, get back to them. Everything is on the record. You can add someone 2 weeks in. And when you face those kinds of solutions where you go like, I don't want to go back. That to me is the point where you stop. And we had this conversation several times with Hay, where we were like, I can't go back to Gmail. As soon as we felt that, it's time to get this thing out. Because as soon as you have something that's so compelling that the prospect of going back to the alternatives feels regressive, you know you have a product that people would be willing to pay for. Because the problem is, if you've only solved a problem that's kind of like a nice to have, I've heard this metaphor and mentioned before, where are you selling vitamins or are you selling painkillers, right? Like, vitamins are prospective. It's nice to do it. It's nice to have it. Like, there you probably need more polish and you need more things. But if you don't have the vitamins, what? Okay, someone not taking their vitamins might feel the effect of that 10 years from now or 5 years from now. If you need painkillers and you don't have painkillers, it's very apparent that you don't have the painkillers and you'd pay a lot right now to get them, not tomorrow, not next week, right now. If the problem you're trying to solve, the epicenter that you found, has that painkiller variety to it, I think it's very clear that, like, okay, this worked. Then it's done. And then you just kind of have to package it up. And that also comes to the strength of the idea. How good does that packaging need to be? I think what we found with Hay was we had some ideas in Hay, like the screener, for example, where you start using that and it is a painkiller. It makes email feel so much better that it doesn't actually matter that we don't have signatures for a lot of people. For the people who have the headache that the screener solves, the lack of signatures, the lack of autoresponders, the lack of all these other so-called table stakes are just not nearly as important as the fact that we cured their damn headache. And I think that that's a really key aspect of product management in general. Like, is the problem you're trying to solve, is that high value enough? Is it painkiller-like? And then it gives you this wonderful guidance on when you're done, when you're ready.
Yeah.
As soon as you don't want to go back to what you were doing before.
And then the inverse of that, of course, is if the problem isn't high level enough, then you do need more packaging. Is that kind of what you're saying?
I think more packaging can help, but do you know what often happens? And I think we've had that over the years, things we've tried to build, you just don't use it.
Right.
And then you get into this thing where, like, I could just as well go back to the other thing I was doing. That's when you know you're kind of in trouble and you should start either thinking about different ideas or trying to perhaps move the spotlight of, maybe we just mistook where the epicenter was.
Yeah.
Maybe the epicenter is like over here instead. Let's try to move the spotlight over there. Maybe we'll find one of those spots where you get that feeling of, I don't want to go back.
To go back to my previous question, and I'm going to use the Hay example because it's a more recent memory. How polished was the ability to send and receive emails before moving on to the screener?
No,
I would say pretty unpolished. I mean, I remember the to and from fields. You know, usually when you type something in, like, the system sort of verifies it's an email address of some sort or turns it into a pill, or there's some indication that, like, it works. You could have typed anything into that. There was no errors. There was no sense that it wasn't even a real email address.
Uh-huh.
It was like a total, like, just trust honor system. That's actually an email address. And if it is, we're going to send it to that address. And if not, it's just not going to go anywhere and you're not going to know about it. So, like, that's how it starts.
There was no autocomplete. You had to type in the whole damn email, copy and paste it over. It didn't have any of those niceties. It just did it.
But it did enough that it made you feel that we could move on to building the thing that makes this email app unique.
What you get is that moment of excitement where, like, if I type david@basecamp.com and I send him email and he gets it and he just messages me, he's like, dude, I got it. It's like, you built something. It works. That's the excitement. You need to have that. But in this case, right, in this case, it was just like, did the email go through? It did. Like, we just built an email system, you know? Of course, it's not a full-blown thing, but you get excited when things start to work.
Yeah.
That you can actually use. You know, that's where it starts. And that's the spark needs to mostly stay lit that whole time. And it can take years sometimes to build something, or it can take months, depending on what it is. And there's dark moments where you don't really know where you're going, or you go in the wrong direction, or it flames out because you get into the monotonous, boring part of the project, because that always happens. But you're excited enough because you know what this thing's really about. You need to keep building things that work in order for that flame to stay lit.
And keep using them yourself, I think, is the other point you were trying to
make. I think one way to think about it is that using something is what fuels the flame.
Yeah.
If you build something in some corner and you don't use it, like, the flame goes out over there and then, you know, it gets dark and it gets moldy and the whole thing starts to fall apart because you don't use it anymore. You don't see it. You don't know it.
Yeah.
And it sort of just degrades in a sense. Even though software, you think, like, how could software degrade? It's digital. But it does. It does. I mean, I guess digital things can degrade over time, of course. But you just think, like, once you build it, it works.
Yeah.
The thing is that all the other parts of the system are changing around it. And you don't see that one change might affect that change, or some style sheet change might blow some design up over here, or some other thing we've messed with. We're not in that room anymore, so we don't see what it did to that room. And that's why you can get into these situations where you build something that's too big and you don't use it, and you don't really know how it works anymore. We've had that happen.
What I find is so fascinating about this discussion of starting with the epicenter and then keeping the flame lit when it's working is also the exact reason why I think a lot of people are very hesitant at touching the epicenter, because this is the time you test the idea. And if you start with the hot dog and the hot dog is gross, well, then you don't get to do all the other things, right?
Yeah.
There's no need for the bun. There's no need for the relish. And to some extent, your dream of becoming a great hot dog vendor is out the window. And I think that this is one of those things that it just feels safer to start with all the around stuff, because none of that is going to disprove your idea. Mm-hmm. So if you're in love with your idea, waiting as long as possible to subject it to the reality of the epicenter is a comforting place to be. It's not a healthy place to be for your idea and ultimately getting it into the world. I remember getting all these emails. Like, I've been working on this thing for like however long, and like I'm still tinkering on, like, yeah, okay, then it's already dead. Like whenever any email starts with that, like, I have been working on this idea for, and then they go whatever, years or something, and I've just been building. You didn't start at the epicenter, because if you did, you would have known within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Whether there was something here or there wasn't.
Well, I think that's a fantastic place to stop. Next week, we're going to, as I said, we're going to start talking about when you should start adding those smaller details and how it shouldn't be early on. So we will talk about that next week. For now, thank you, Jason Fried.
Thanks, Sean.
And thank you, David Heinemeier Hansen.
Thanks.
We'll see you next week.
Adios.
Rework is a production of Basecamp. Our theme music is by Clipart. We're on the web at rework.fm, where you can find show notes and transcripts for this and every episode of Rework. We're also on Twitter at Rework Podcast. If you're following along with the book, next week we'll be discussing the chapter Ignore the Details Early On. And if you like the show, I'd really appreciate it if you would leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, or wherever you're listening to this.